our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Just keep it dirty.
I love it.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
The fact that you're replacing Justin as the host on here, I couldn't be happier. So I'm ecstatic.
I hope to not disappoint you too early on in the season. It'll happen at some point.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
I know. That wasn't a great vote of confidence, but, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm on vacation. I'm working. I mean, there's a girl on the podcast now. I don't even know what to do.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast for the NFL season. It is finally here. I am Sasha Salinger, maybe a new voice to most of you, but definitely a degenerate DFS gambler. I wouldn't say player. I'm not that good, but that's why we have Mike.
This is an awesome change. I've been waiting for a female host the whole entire time I've been with FWFB, and the fact that you're replacing Justin as the host on here, I couldn't be happier. So I'm ecstatic.
Well, thanks. I hope to not disappoint you too early on in the season. It'll happen at some point, but
I'm easily pleased. I'm already over the moon.
Well, then if you have a girlfriend, she's a lucky woman.
she's not lucky, but I do have a girlfriend.
You are easily pleased. So, well, let's hop in. We're recording this on Thursday. We just had the Panthers-Broncos game. So none of those players count for our purposes.
No, they don't. But it is good to check out some of the ownership percentages from a lot of people that will play the Thursday to Sunday slates.
Sure. So, and that's only on FanDuel, though, right?
No, it's also on DraftKings. I haven't actually looked on DraftKings if they had them, but I know for sure they are on FanDuel. So typically they have like the bomb on FanDuel you can check out, and it gives you just a little bit of a glimpse of what, you know, some of the ownership will be on some of the big guys this week. You know, so if you're looking, you know, to see what the ownership might be on somebody like Amari Cooper, who I'll bring up, it's better to look at now than to, you know, sneak in on Sunday and, you know, check it out then.
Sure. Well, especially because you happen to be on the West Coast this weekend, and I do live in California, so it's hard to wake up before those 10 a.m. start times. So, yeah, it's better to do it Thursday, Friday, Saturday before the games on Sunday.
Which is insane. I mean, like the game tonight, you know, the Thursday night game started at 5 o'clock, which I already found trippy as hell. And the fact that there's going to be a full slate of NFL games starting at 10 a.m. kind of is crazy to me. Like, I don't even know if I'll be able to wake up for it, which is unfortunate.
Well, it means you had a good night Saturday night. So it's not the worst thing.
It's not.
But no, I like being able to go to bed early, too. Like, I can't believe people stay up until 1 a.m. on the East Coast watching the last game.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I think that it's a trend I'm starting to see, is a lot of people here end up going to bed earlier than people on the East Coast. Like, typically, East Coast, even if they work early in the morning, they wake up like, or they go to bed at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, because there's nothing to do after 2 because the bars close here.
Yeah.
Like, if you're up past 2 a.m. on the West Coast, you're getting into way too much trouble.
Yeah.
Just go home.
It's way too clean on the West Coast, too, at least from what I've seen. I am in San Diego, so maybe that's part of it, but it's a lot cleaner than the East Coast.
All white people. San Diego is very white.
That it is.
So, speaking of, how do you feel about Aaron Rodgers at quarterback this weekend?
I mean, he's the top overall option, obviously. I don't have much to say. You know, I'm personally not going to go with him because I still have the bad taste in my mouth from last season with Green Bay. And Jordy Nelson, I understand, is back. He seems to be fully healthy. So I'm completely okay with Rodgers in tournaments. Jacksonville, though, has really added some spunk to that defense. I'm really intrigued to see how the defense performs opening game of the year. It's a home game for them. So I love Rodgers. I think he is the top overall play today. But for me, I'm just not going to be rolling with them because I just don't think that there's other options that are a little bit cheaper that I feel more comfortable with.
So do you like anyone on Green Bay offense? We're talking about like GPPs, right? Like the big tournament plays.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely throw in Jordy. I think that he's certainly a guy that, you know, can make your day with, you know, just two catches. He is about the 10th receiver listed in price at 7,700. I just know personally from what I've seen and a lot of the people I've talked to, not a lot of people are targeting the game. I think people are a little bit weary about, you know, Green Bay's offense in general. So it might be kind of a play where, you know, it might work out for GPPs if you end up going with a Green Bay heavy stack if you want to go Cobb and Jordy. I think that they're strong GPP plays. The over-under is fairly high. I just think that it's better to, you know, for cash at least, if you're trying to be safe, I wouldn't roll any Green Bay guys out there. But in GPPs, I think that, you know, they might be more owned than you might think. And, I'm not really interested in any of them.
What about not as fat Eddie Lacy?
I'm not interested in him either. Okay. I'm kind of off of him until he shows me, especially not at his price. I'd much rather go with Lamar Miller, who's only 300 ahead of him. He's in a much better situation. James Starks is still lurking. You know, there's just a lot of reasons not to go with Eddie Lacy, even though he's looked better in the preseason and, you know, he is a bit slimmed down.
Yes, of course. So who do you like? Let's start with quarterbacks. Who do you like this weekend?
Obviously Drew Brees. Oakland has had some troubles in their secondary. This is one of the highest over-unders this week. I love the whole game, you know, so I'll just, you know, I'll talk about Brees. I'll talk about Derek Carr as well. You'll have to pay for both. You know, Derek Carr is sitting at 7,300, Brees at 81. But I like all of the pieces of this game. I like Mark Ingram on the other side with Drew Brees. I also like pretty much all of the Saints pass catchers. I'm fading Kobe Fleener because he's pretty much, you know, voice that he is not going to be, that he hasn't been fully digesting the playbook well enough, and he's not up to date with Drew Brees, and he just doesn't have a good enough repertoire. So I guess the main Saints players I'd be targeting is Mark Ingram at 6,600. I think that he's a strong play. And then Brandon Cooks, who, you know, is still a pretty strong play in his own right. He's the same price as Jordy Nelson. I feel a little bit more comfortable with Cooks in cash games and Drew Brees than I do with the Green Bay guys on the other side there. I still like the you know, the other two receivers, Willie Snead and whoever his name is, I can't remember right now, from New Orleans. So I'm Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas just suffered an injury, though, so if I was going to go with an under-the-radar Saints pass catcher, it would probably be Willie Snead, because a lot of people are just kind of fading him already in season-long because of the Michael Thomas kind of, kind of uplift and targets and the way his preseason has gone. So for me, it's Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, and then Willie Snead.
Any chance you stack all three, like a Drew Brees, Cooks, and Snead?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind doing that at all. I also don't mind the other way. As far as Kobe Fleener, I mentioned I didn't really care for him, but if you wanted to throw Derek Carr in there, Amari Cooper for me is one of, if not, you know, the best based on price wide receivers on today's slate. I think he's going to be heavily owned. Probably at least 20%. But I would rather go with Cooper, Derek Carr, and then even Clive Walford, who's insanely cheap. The Saints were top five or bottom five in tight end defense last year. I really haven't seen them make big upgrades to their defense, except for they lost Brandon Browner, which I guess in theory is an upgrade by itself by losing him. But I really like Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, and Clive Walford more than I would like the Saints stack. But you could, if you want to, kind of mix it up. You know, you could throw Mark Ingram in there, and then Derek Carr or Drew Brees. You know, throw Snead and Brandon Cooks and Cooper, and then maybe go Clive Walford, and then kind of go contrarian on the defense if you want to go that route. It all kind of depends. Sometimes you don't really need to go contrarian. You can just kind of throw one pick that not a lot of people will have, and then the rest can be kind of chalk, and still everything can work out.
So you haven't mentioned Crabtree at all. Are you avoiding him?
He's more of a – I had spent a lot of touchdown regression, negative regression from him. He had a ton of red zone looks last year that I don't really – think will be continued. I do expect Clive Walford to get targeted in the red zone a bit more this season. And Amari Cooper, I think, is going to take a step up as well. And I think it really starts this week. So for me, I just think Cooper has the higher upside. If you just need a guy that you feel is safe, like in cash games, who will get probably 5 to 8 targets, reel in, you know, 5 to 7 receptions for 60 to 70 yards, I think he's your man. But for me, I'm looking for upside, and I'm more of a tournament player myself. So I'm more than likely would go with somebody like Cooper instead of paying less for Crabtree.
Now, is there a quarterback you mentioned Aaron Rodgers you're avoiding? Anyone else you're avoiding you definitely won't play?
I'm not going to be playing Andrew Luck as of yet. even though the game is amazing, I really love the Detroit indie game. It's one of my favorites for this week. I'm going to be avoiding Luck because the offensive line has still looked really bad for the Colts. Detroit has kind of stepped it up a bit defensively in the preseason. They've played a little bit more inspired. DeAndre Levy is back. That adds a lot to that defense. Not to say that they're going to shut, you know, Andrew Luck down, but based on the price, I'm just not ready to go there quite yet. Russell Wilson, I'm also off of. You know, not to say that he's not going to have an amazing game, but I love Eli Manning underneath him at 7,500. He's been where I've really been gravitating towards. Matthew Stafford at 7,200. As well, but for the most part, I've been not really targeting some of the top end guys: Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. I've kind of started at Eli Manning and worked my way down.
All right, let's move on to running backs.
Who are you liking?
Yes, so do. Well, I love some more than others. Who are you liking?
I love Ezekiel Elliott, and I know it's probably wrong to actually like him for this week, but you have to like him. I feel like, you know, with a rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott, the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys always get into shootouts. Mm-hmm. This is a division game, so I think it's going to be close no matter what. But a lot of times when a game is close, and you know it ends up, you know, becoming a high scoring affair because, you know, whenever one of the teams scores, the other team tries harder to score, and they end up doing the same thing, and that's how it leads to shootouts. I think that this is easily one of those matchups that could lead that way. The over under is another one that looks pretty encouraging to me for this week. But Elliott, I think, is going to get, you know, 60% of the share of workload, and not just the backfield, but in total touches for the Cowboys. He's the one guy on the Cowboys I would roll with. I'm not really interested in anybody else, but in terms of running backs, he's the third price guy. You have to like him. I mean, AP's up top. I think that's enough said, though. Everybody knows that Adrian Peterson with either Sam Bradford or Sean Hill at quarterback is going to get, if not all the carries, just every single bit of that offense to himself. So, I mean, it goes without saying that Adrian Peterson is a stud play. But for me, the best play on the slate is Spencer Ware. You know, they made these prices a long, long time ago. And Spencer Ware obviously has earned the first string job for right now, with Jamaal Charles already out of the game against San Diego, who was a bottom three run defense last year. They've looked hideous in the preseason. Their top overall pick, Joey Bosa, is hurt. There's just so many things going negative for that run game, or for that run defense for San Diego, that Spencer Ware at 4,400 is about as good of a layup as there is at the running back position. So I like him the most of any running back today. I'll throw out Jeremy Langford, even though he's facing Houston. The fact that he's 4,700, he catches the ball out of the backfield. He's going to be getting the majority of all of the touches back there. I like him a lot. Duke Johnson against Philadelphia, I'm really into him for this week. Ryan Matthews, I absolutely love, 5,700. Obviously, they're going to be going with a rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz, Philadelphia. And Cleveland was another one of those teams like San Diego that was terrible against the run last season. Matthews is going to get the job to himself. I think that this is a strong game for him, especially at that price. I like LeSean McCoy a lot, too. I'll kind of end on that. He's 5,700 or 6,400, I'm sorry, facing Baltimore. But we all know the Rex Ryan way. He likes to give the ball to the running back. He's been a top five head coach in run opportunities over the last few years here. So I think LeSean McCoy at his depressed price is another really good guy to go with pretty much in tournaments or cash games.
I love it. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on Thomas Rawls versus Christine Michael.
Michael every day of the week for now. Rawls, I love him. I still love him as a player. I think it's going to take time for him to come back from such a severe injury. The Seahawks have already said that Michael is their guy for this week. That's not to say I think Rawls is completely, you know, held out of the game or not in the game plan at all. But Michael is going to be the guy that, you know, gets the majority of the touches. His price is amazing. So for me, if you're going to pick between the two and you really like that game, I would definitely go with Michael above Rawls every day of the week.
All right. Now, wide receivers. Talk to me.
Who do you like a wide receiver? I mean, Julio's up top, right? So, you know, being a Bucs fan, whenever he plays the Buccaneers, he had two great games against them last year. I do think he's actually under-owned this week against Tampa Bay, because I know a lot of people watched the – the Falcons in the preseason, and they probably weren't impressed. So I think that will depress Julio Jones' ownership a bit. I would be really intrigued to see what his ownership was on some of the FanDuel tournaments to check out, you know, what people are thinking for this week. But for me, I think he is the, you know, top overall play in terms of price, and that's why they have him priced like that. Odell Beckham is an obvious play any day of the week. I love AJ Green. I don't love him for this week, though. So if we're talking about voids, I just don't like him against the Jets. I think this is the wrong time to play him, but there's going to be a ton of weeks this year that AJ Green will be relevant. Keenan Allen, I really like this week at 8,000, especially on a site like DraftKings. That's PPR. You know, the fact that he's going to, he was leading the league in targets at wide receiver last year before he went down. He likely will lead the league in receptions this year. I think it all starts this week. So if you wanted to start your lineups with somebody like Keenan Allen at 8,000, I'm completely on board with that. And I already kind of mentioned some of the other games, like the Detroit Indy game, I'm completely in for. T.Y. Hilton's up top at 7,500. He's a solid play. Golden Tate at 7,300 is a solid play as well. Amari Cooper, I mentioned, from New Orleans, I like him a lot. As far as the other games that I think could blow open, there's just not a lot. I think Jarvis Landry is in a pretty good spot against Seattle. He usually typically gets kicked into the slot whenever they go three wide. And the fact that Richard Sherman probably won't be meeting him in the slot is definitely good for his value. And the fact that it's PPR on DraftKings once again, and you know the fact that his price is 6,000, that all kind of mixes well with one another. Corey Coleman, I think, will be under-owned. He's 5,100 facing Philadelphia. We didn't get to see much of him this preseason, but the fact that he's going to be there without Josh Gordon, RG3 has made some exciting plays this year or in the preseason so far. He's kind of interesting to me. And, you know, overall, I think, again, you know, that New Orleans game, I really like Marvin Jones in that Detroit game as well, Detroit Indy. But it's more about targeting the game and not necessarily one player that you like.
Well, going back to that game as well, I think Golden Tate is a really good option with Stafford. I do think he's overpriced, and I think maybe not for this game, but by the end of the season, he won't be $7,300.
No, he'll go down. That's completely based on, you know, Calvin not being there. If you look at the games in which Calvin Johnson missed last year with Golden Tate on the field, Tate ended up, you know, eating. I wouldn't go with Tate either. I'm a little bit worried about Anquan Boldin. He is going to kick into the slot, unlike Golden Tate last season. So when they go three wide with Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, and Anquan Boldin on the field, you'll see Boldin get a lot of those, you know, kind of slot receptions, and it probably will take away from Golden Tate a little bit. Not to say that Tate isn't, you know, somebody you should play, but I haven't been gravitating towards him. I'd much rather go with Marvin Jones, who's 4,600. Another name I didn't mention in that Giants and Dallas game is Sterling Shepard. He's 4,900. He's going to be highly owned, though. So him and Cooper are guys I've heard a lot of analysts talk about that they really like this week. And when you pair that in with Spencer Ware at running back, I think that is a big amount of the chalk that you'll see.
All right. I totally agree with you. You're not giving me anything to fight about. I was actually going to bring up Sterling Shepard as well. All right, moving on to tight ends. Who do you hate? Who do you hate for tight ends?
I hate Gronk. I mean, even though he's facing Arizona, who isn't great against the tight end position, and the fact that he's 2,400 above any other tight end goes to show you that, you know, he is the best at his position. And there's, you know, usually, you know, the early lineups I was setting, I had Gronk like automatically penciled in because I want to have that advantage at tight end. But the fact that he's already having injury problems, it looks like he's going to play. And, the fact that, you know, he is going to play is a good thing, but I also am a little bit worried about production. It's a rookie quarterback. You know, I know Arizona is looking at this like, you know, we need to guard Rob Gronkowski as hard as we can. So I won't be playing Gronkowski. Kelsey, I won't be playing either. Essentially, I'll be going cheaper. So I really like Zach Ertz at 4,300. I think he has a solid floor, and a lot of times rookie quarterbacks tend to lean on their tight ends pretty heavily, essentially, because they're close and they usually run pretty simple routes. Really like Antonio Gates, 4,200. I think that this is going to be the stepping stone of him breaking the all-time touchdown leader for tight ends. So him at 4,200 is another really good play for me. I like Julius Thomas at 3,800. I think that game could be pretty decent. But again, I think that he's going to be the guy that, you know, kind of takes a step up for Jacksonville this year when some other guys will take a step down. Really been gravitating towards Martellus Bennett, though. He's 3,400. I think that he's going to be the beneficiary of being a starter on this team. They love to run two tight end sets. New England does, and Bennett is going to be on the field a ton. $3,400 is an amazing price for him. Dwayne Allen's in that Detroit Indy game, so he's certainly interesting at $3,200. And then Clive Walford in that New Orleans and Oakland game. New Orleans was the worst team in the league against tight ends last year. The fact that he's 3,000.
Second to Oakland.
Yeah, exactly. And Oakland was terrible, too. And that brings up a good point with Kobe Fleener. He's the third highest tight end on the board in terms of price. I'm going to be avoiding him for the reasons that I mentioned earlier, the fact that he's just not on the same page with Drew Brees. I guess in tournaments, if you want to go that route, since it is so open and out there that you know they have had those struggles, then I guess I can understand it. But I really like Walford. I like Dwayne Allen. I like Julius Thomas, Martellus Bennett, some of the cheaper guys.
I'm going to throw in Zach Miller, who I know has a really good relationship and rapport with Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler relied on him pretty heavily at the end of last season. Obviously, Jay Cutler has a terrible offensive line. Who knows how many passes he'll be able to complete. But I really like Zach Miller for his price and considering how many targets he may get.
I like that. I like that call. I definitely saw it. And, you know, I mean, to each their own. The fact that Jeffrey has really, you know, missed a ton of time, that definitely helps him. I don't mind it.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
I know. That wasn't a great vote of confidence, but, you know. Sorry.
Well, I really like Bennett, too, because also Garoppolo loves throwing to tight ends, so from what little we've seen. So, and Gronk may only be playing in a limited capacity on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he'll play a ton of snaps, but you know, if you base him price, I think Miller is a better play than Gronk because of the fact that, you know, Miller was solid when he was on the field last year. And if you think about it, Kevin White hasn't really become a consistent guy for the Bears yet. So if you look, if you really think about it, it probably goes in the pecking order, Jeffrey and then Langford. And then after that, they might roll Zach Miller. So, I mean, based on the price difference, Miller is kind of a better play by a landslide.
Definitely. And finally, defense.
Cardinals. Cardinals, no matter what, for me, like $3,500 for them. They're facing a rookie quarterback. I think it's just it's at home in Arizona. This could really turn into a bloodbath for the Patriots if things kind of go wrong early. It is a high over-under, but it has dropped 5.5 points since the open line. It was at 51. Now it's at 45.5. That's certainly something to look at, especially when lines kind of finish up on Sunday morning. I like to really look at line trends, and the fact that New England's over-under is going down is certainly something good for Arizona. They were one of the top teams in turnovers last season. Their pass rush has gotten better in the offseason as well. So I'm really digging Arizona for this week. I really like the Eagles as well. You'll have to pay for them. They're a couple hundred less at $3,300, but I think that they are a really good defense to go with this week. LA Rams, the main reason is because they are facing the 49ers. San Francisco 49ers. You know, so that's, for me, those are the three defenses I've been sticking with. I don't mind if you want to be contrarian and go down to the Browns, but the Browns just are not a good squad. And I mean, I understand facing, you know, Carson Wentz that there could be some upside and a couple turnovers, but for me, I don't believe in that Cleveland defense quite yet. I think that those three options are the ones I feel most comfortable with and the ones that I will be rolling with no matter whether I play a GPP, PBR, or a cash lineup.
So you mentioned Arizona defense, but you didn't mention anyone on Arizona offense. Is there anyone you're liking or playing against New England?
Not really. I think that all of them are fairly priced, to be honest with you. Michael Floyd is my top receiver for Arizona, and he's priced pretty fair at the moment. If anybody, I think John Brown, because he's been out and he's finally been declared healthy. I think the fact that he's going to be playing the slot and, you know, can run the deep route very well and get open, that might lead to some GPP goodness. But he's also fairly priced. You know, he's $5,200. I think that that's a solid. I would just much rather go Coleman at $5,100. I didn't even mention Tyler Lockett, but he's at $5,000. You know, there's a few guys, Sterling Shepard, Willie Snead. There's multiple options underneath the majority of the Arizona pass catchers that I feel okay with. And as far as tight end, they have Daniel Fells, but he's not, you know, near a play at the moment.
All right. Well, thanks for all your input.
And thank you. I'm kind of out of breath. I'm just
that was a whirlwind. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on vacation. I'm working. I mean, there's a girl on the podcast now. I don't even know what to do.
You didn't even get flustered. It was. I'm I'm very impressed.
I'm impressed. I mean, you already called me a genius. We've only been on one episode. I wish I got more of this treatment.
Because you've only had one episode as we go on. So far, we'll get lower and lower.
It's downhill from here. It 100% is downhill from here.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see who wins the $1 million on Monday.
We will.
All right, Mike, if you change your mind and people want to know up to the minute analysis and changes, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. You can check out the ranks on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits website. We have all the positional ranks up for this week. We're going to do that every week of the season. I just said a week a bunch in a very short amount of time. You can check out my updates on fantasypros.com. Check out the baseball podcast. A ton going on, so check it all out.
All right, and you can follow me at Sasha Salinger on Twitter. And every Monday, I do a little YouTube segment called Players That Fucked Me on DraftKings. So I'm sure I'll be talking about some of the players we mentioned today and how they underperformed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Just keep it dirty.
I love it. Play to